Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 399. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end this week is Chris Calamita. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing okay, Kevin. Actually, better than okay. I'm Mr. Raw, as you have given me that nickname.
Well, I mentioned it beforehand of the show, like, I don't ever remember attending two wrestling events within that short a time frame that you did, where you went to Raw in Green Bay, and then a couple weeks later you go and they have their final show at the Joe Louis Arena there. Well, not final show, final Raw.
Final Raw. Well, final television, apparently. I did not know that they were sneaking a house show in July, which... Depending on the timeline, I don't know if that may or may not be the last thing they ever have at the Joe. I might have to look into that at some point. I attended two Raws in the last 3 weeks. That's a pretty incredible undertaking. Of course, I'll focus on last night's Raw, because I don't think too many people care too much about what happened 2 weeks ago, even if I haven't been on. In a few weeks.
yeah, it's a little... Well, I mean, the only thing that you can do is you can rank the crowds, whether Detroit was the better crowd or
Detroit by far. Detroit smoked Green Bay. Judging from what was happening on television, it smoked Chicago last week, although there was one embarrassing CM Punk chat that I would like to apologize to the world for on behalf of Detroit. as our close mutual friend and sometimes stunt granny contributor Daniel Kuster likes to say, it's the Cloud's way of rebelling against Triple H and Stephanie, and it's better than having a crowd chant shut the fuck up.
It is more PC than that.
Yes.
Though I do, believe that you can chant whatever you want, I just don't think it, I don't think it helps your cause for change chanting for someone who, doesn't want to be part of the change, to be quite honest.
No, I don't think it's been over 3 years. I mean, come on, people, let's let this go. It's whatever. I mean, it was a really, really fun. It was a really fun live experience. I don't know if it. I think it sounded like Detroit was loud enough that it was coming through over the television. But I think Detroit was definitely a crowd that was, even during Big Show and Titus O'Neil and other matches of that sort. Really. Willing themselves to entertain themselves and be entertaining and have a pretty good time, which I don't understand why anyone would go to a show and with the intention of not having a good time.
I always hope for a good time, but that is never promised with the WWE product. Because
that's the thing, that the crowd should go prepared to enjoy themselves.
There is always some bright spot at a live event, even if it's the people watching.
It was really fun. I guess we're gonna pick the show apart, various segments of importance apart. So I guess we could start. Let's start with the main event segment.
And now I'm trying to remember what that was.
Oh, geez.
I don't think it was the Roman Reigns thing. I feel like that was earlier in the night, because I so...
No.
So, And I forgot that this chewed up a lot of the show. How dare I? because it all rode on who Mick Foley was going to fire. And I've got to admit that would be one way to cut someone from the roster that, you know, I think it's been noted recently that she hasn't really got, like, it doesn't seem like she's in line for comeuppance.
No, she does not get her comeuppance very often. I mean, I was actually worried that that segment was going to end with 10 minutes. The last 10 minutes of Raw was going to be Stephanie browbeating Nicole and then just firing him.
Oh, yeah.
So I am definitely very happy to get what we got. You know, obviously the Mick Foley Stephanie McMahon relationship has irreconcilable this difference is stage. I'm interested to see how they, because no one, by the end of it, no one formally or officially was fired or quit. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how things play out in the coming weeks. I know Mick Foley, it's said that Mick Foley has, hip replacement surgery scheduled very soon, and it's expected to be off TV for a long time, at least a couple of months, if not this being the end very soon. But no, it was good that, if this was part, the end or close to the end, that Foley got to stand up for himself. The live crowd definitely, started, buzzing and figuring out, where it was going, who Mick Foley was going to choose to fire. That got a gigantic reaction. Yes, Chance. It was, that was fun to be a part of.
Yeah, well, that was the funniest thing to me about the crowd. Like, that to me was the biggest reaction all night.
Yeah.
All of the
heat Stephanie collects can be useful in moments like that. Of course, in the end, Triple H and Stephanie, walked out with their heads high. But of course, it's just a TV, so hopefully, so once again, you still hold out hope that, they will get their comeuppance. I mean, I don't worry as much about Triple H getting his physical comeuppance as much as Stephanie. That becomes a major issue.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was kind of funny earlier in the night before the main event part started, just a little aside for her part, is, like, she finally didn't act like a big idiot to Nia Jax. She's just really condescending to all the women on Raw, except for Jax and Charlotte.
Yeah,
she can still kind of walk on Charlotte's segments sometimes too, though.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the way she treats Bayley and Sasha, it's just totally wrong. If there's ever a match between her and either of them and they go over, I will be the first to admit, good job, Stephanie. But I don't really believe that that's going to happen.
I mean, I guess they could get a good match out of her. But, yeah. It just get tougher, I would imagine, with age, as with any athlete, honestly. So getting back to that, it was kind of cracking me up that in the immediate aftermath of Seth Rollins showing up, and I would have to say looking pretty good, honestly, it was interesting that I saw the news that he still might not be completely ready for WrestleMania, and I'm like, man, he really did a lot of moving around for not being ready yet.
Well, what they certainly did was set up the story of the match is going to be built around Triple H working over the knee. Complete with, brand new submission hold, or not brand new. I think he was trying. Wasn't he using that for a while? Like, didn't like in his 2002 never ending world title reign? Didn't he like use that for or reverse trigger four or Indian Deathlock or something?
Yeah, I do believe that he has infrequently busted that out.
Yeah, but no, but in this case, it did work. I think that once again, it might not be the fast moving dynamic match that you would hope for initially. Although, once again, Seth was moving pretty good, so you know, we'll see how it all goes. I mean, I'm fairly certain that you know the match is on. I don't foresee you know any reason that right now that they won't have a one-on-one match in Wrestling.
Yeah, at this point, I'd be surprised if they didn't, considering it is, you know, another 3 weeks. I would not imagine Rollins is going to be out doing house shows in the meantime.
Right. No. Seth's going to keep going back to rehabbing that knee. You know, once again, it worked. I mean, it definitely was, you know, everything about that segment, you know, worked live. McFoley standing up for himself with Stephanie, Triple H guy was a complete dick. You know, he got in some humorous lines, but in the end, he was just a dick heel. And then, you know, Foley firing back, you know, the Socko Claw, which, you know, that was a nice little thing for McFoley to get. You know, I know he's, at this point, largely physically incapable of much more than that. But, you know, for him to at least get that on Triple H and Stephanie, you know, it was good stuff.
Yeah, it took up too much of my time for me to, like, when the end came, I'm like, oh, thank God, finally, like, because I had not liked this stuff earlier in the night leading up to this. At all, but it did set things up the way that they wanted to, so it at least was effective in that regard. I don't know that's a big one to add to WrestleMania. I guess like. We went from guessing about that match to now it's definitely like, you know, it seems pretty likely that that match is going down.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. I don't think they would have done an angle that strong if it wasn't. I mean, there's certainly an argument that you could have waited a week for Triple H to get his heat back and that Seth really needed after the weeks and weeks of, you know, wishy-washy, you know, writing with him for him to get a real big, you know, big moment, you know, where he stood triumphantly, and maybe that's the way I would have gone, but yeah, it's not.
Yeah, you're pissing and moaning over a week at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that was definitely I would say a headline of Raw. And I'm scrolling back through to see what else. I mean the drive-by opening segment for Brock Lesnar is like, hey, I'm here to fulfill my obligations. I'm outie. Have fun.
That is not unfair. Not unfair way to put it. I mean, it was, you know, a good Heyman promo. Definitely a crowd that I don't know how things would have been if Goldberg was there, but definitely a pro Brock Lesnar crowd. You know, I don't know if this is, you can throw this on the, if this log on the fire of crowds tiring of Goldberg or not, but it was definitely a pro Lesnar crowd. People really reacted well to, again, you know what? He's a star. And even if he's not doing anything, just to be in his presence does feel special. I mean, I can definitely say that.
Yeah, because I don't think I've been at too many events with him there.
Not WrestleMania, I mean?
Yeah, not being WrestleMania. Like, I did forget that he won King of the Ring down here in Columbus. And I think that was the last King of the Ring.
Right. Well, I don't really count anything from the first one as him feeling like you're seeing this big star. I mean, like, really, since the return, hell, not even since the return. I mean, they goofed around with him enough in 2012, 2013. Really, since he ended the streak when they got dead serious with in the business of Brock Lesnar. You know, it does feel special when he's around. I guess I wish he would have, you know, F5 somebody, you know, for my own entertainment's sake. But you know, they set the table for WrestleMania pretty well. Now, once again, we still don't know what kind of match we're going to see here. It's Goldberg is so untested. I mean, he took his first bump in 13 years last week. I assume he's fine.
Yeah, I mean, one would have to assume that he can take a reasonable amount of punishment.
Right.
No reason that he can't, you know, he's not a China doll, for Pete's sakes.
Right.
But, yeah, I guess Raw did a good job, really, of setting up just a lot of stuff for WrestleMania now that... we're kind of locked and loaded now. I mean, they had time. Raw had to deal with getting to Fastlane, and SmackDown had to dilly-dally because they had a whole lot of...
Dilly-dallying is a great expression for what SmackDown did. I guess next thing really to talk about as far as Raw is concerned is I am definitely... If I wasn't already last week, I am definitely a believer in Roman Reigns versus Undertaker being the right direction. There's something electric about this. You know, if they would have done Undertaker and John Cena, you know, people would have booed Cena. They would have, you know, done the let's go Cena, Cena sucks, Undertaker chance, and, you know, or whatever.
Right.
But I don't think when people do that with John Cena nowadays, it's part of the show. Everyone, you know, has respect him. It's not like if Cena won that match against Undertaker at WrestleMania, it would be the end of the world or anything. There are people have a visceral fear of Roman Reigns being the Undertaker at WrestleMania, streak or no streak. This is something people do not want to see, and it will create an electric atmosphere at WrestleMania.
Yeah, the level of heat he's getting at this point. Like you said,
for a match
like
with Jinder Mahal. People were cheering Jinder Mahal. Let's go, Jinder. Unfortunately, don't hinder Jinders. Didn't seem to pick back up after he came back.
Oh man, poor Jinder. Like you said, like, there are people, and I mean, I think we've mentioned it on the show, like, when, and I've definitely been able to tell in live attendance, where people are like, let's go Cena, Cena sucks. Like, they do both parts. And you're just like...
Well, I was doing that with Roman Reigns. I was personally, just to be a dick, doing that with Roman Reigns last night, but I see your point.
Yeah, I mean, there are times that in some ways, you know, you're just going with it, or people just go with it, instead of it being their actual reaction, which is kind of funny. So, yeah, this... I definitely think... Or I still think that, because Shahid agreed, that Braun Strowman can still, like, that guy is going to be able to pick anything back up so long as the WWE pleases that he does so.
Oh my God, when he, when he ran out, oh, that was great. And, you know, kudos to Roman Reigns for, you know, for taking a hellacious bump. I guess we're getting ahead of ourselves when I'm talking about Shawn Michaels first, but no, but, oh. I mean, that bump Roman Reigns took off of Roman, just, I still don't understand how he didn't see him coming. I don't know how you don't see the, train coming.
That would be hard not to even catch out of your peripheral vision. you know, that's a whole lot of human to not at least see some type of movement in the side of your eye.
Right.
but yeah, he did take quite the bump, but that was just a lot of fun, and I'm glad that they didn't completely forget that subject either.
No. They can go back to that. I mean, I guess if they want to, they can absolutely do an Undertaker distraction finish leading to Braun Strowman actually getting a win over Roman Reigns. You could do that. I mean, so that you keep Braun strong. Not once again. Unfortunately, the way the cookie is crumbled, Strowman probably not getting anything more than the Battle Royal at WrestleMania. You know,
oh,
which is unfortunate, but.
Yeah,
that should be his to win.
I would think so. So yeah, I mean, again, like the WWE does not have a habit of changing their course of action with one big month.
No, absolutely. Well, there's nothing really to change right now. They got something with Roman Reigns and Undertaker, and you know, even though it seems like something Shawn Michaels does every year, showing up to warn someone of the evils of the Undertaker, like the wise old man who stands in front of the abandoned insane asylum. But it worked, and you know, Roman's big line, you know, about he retired you, but I'm the one who's going to retire him. That's, you know, that'll be the money line and all the video packages, I'm sure. So, you know, they got that in there. So once again, that was a success.
Yeah, I mean, that line really was like Roman Reigns was just being a dick, and I'm all for it.
I'm too. I feel I've said it before. I feel he is a dick. I feel he was a dick. I feel he, you know,
like
he was tossing people into lockers in high school all the time. I feel like this is who he is.
Because, like, even Shawn Michaels came out to give the sage advice, and he really wasn't trying to side against the Reigns. But Reigns just decided to, you know, verbally smack him around anyway. So, you know, that makes it a little more malicious in my estimation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and if he can keep that up, I'm all for it, because the built-in hate is there, and if you have him start acting like a heel, and I think we mentioned it, this is like the third straight opponent for Reigns that he's been less popular than. And, you know, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of crowd going against The Undertaker.
No, I mean, it's the WrestleMania crowd. It's some families, some young females. But it will be a largely male crowd. And once again, it's The Undertaker. So a lot of people who would cheer Roman won't be. So it'll be a pretty close unanimous negative reaction for Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I hopefully he's able to feed off of it and really, you know, once again, this has the potential to be the biggest, to feel like the biggest match on the show.
Yeah, I mean, The WWE has really stuck by Roman Reigns, no matter what anyone wants to say. And they've kept him up there, and I mean, this is just more proof. Like, I mean, they're giving him the Undertaker. The Undertaker has one match a year, and they're putting Roman Reigns in it. I mean, it's just one of those ones that's just like, you just need to deal with it at this point. But people don't want to deal with it, and it's kind of funny. And if it, you know, and it might finally work in Reigns' favor if that side of his personality can stay out. I think, like I, unlike John Cena, I don't think it's too late for him to go that route. Like,
no, I mean,
you know, Cena's career was more back and forth in his early days, and then he's kind of stuck with good guy John Cena for.
And a while always, now. You know what? The numbers have that you know, Meltzer gets or whatever. Just don't bear out that Roman sells merchandise, but not really at a level that's that much higher than, you know, he's not typically the number one, and you know it's still at the level of, you know, Ambrose and Rollins and other guys you know pushed at that level. So once again, you're not sacrificing. What you would sacrifice if you would have turned John Cena 5 years ago.
Oh, right. Yeah, so you, and, yeah, so I mean, that's something that you won't be able to tell by WrestleMania if that's the way they're going, because Reigns is just going to be portrayed as the dick against The Undertaker for the next 3 weeks. No question. So that question will be out there for a little while, but for the short term, like I think, like we've already said, it works perfectly for WrestleMania. Like, people really don't want to see him win. Like, you started off with the segment, like,
it's outstanding. A real visceral feeling here. I felt it in Detroit. I felt it's, you know, maybe I've never been in a crowd. I'm trying to think. Have I ever been in a crowd during a big, like a gigantic John Cena match where it just felt like there was the mixed reaction, but it was definitely so much more negative. I don't know if I have. It just felt something. It just like.
Well, yeah, wow. I guess I was at one because him and Kevin Owens had their one match. Money in the Bank here in Columbus. And that one, definitely, there were a lot of people that just really did not want to see him beat Kevin Owens in the crowd. So that's the only time I've gotten that reaction with John Cena in a match, in a live setting. I think the other times it's been... Like you kind of mentioned, I feel like these last couple of years it's just been playful at this point. Like, people, it's just the thing to do for Cena now.
All right.
Anything else from Raw that is a big ticket?
I guess the women's situation on Raw, I think, it to me is still it's a mess. It really is. You know, triple threat match, but we're still keeping Nia Jax strong. We're bringing back the Dana Brooke, you know, Charlotte, you know, dissension that finally blew up, and Dana Brooke getting a top five pop of the night. That was surprising, but you know what? They played that off well. I mean, by and large, the whole thing has been screwed up since they had Bayley win the title to the Emperor. It's that simple.
Yeah, and just kind of, yeah.
And there is something of a, I don't know if it's a huge backlash, but the way that they've done with Bayley, you know, bring her up as this adult child, just fully formed character without really the backstanding NXT backstory, having to win the title so soon, you tell that there's people in the crowd who just don't get it.
Yeah, and they certainly are not helped at all by Byron Saxton,
No.
who is supposed to be the proponent for people of her kind,
Yeah, and then
and
he just gets eaten alive by Corey Graves.
yeah, I mean, even Michael Cole just has to sit there at the other end of the table and just shake his head. Like, it's just like, you just make this so unbearable, dude. Like, and when Michael Cole is even giving that to you, like, it's tough to come back from.
Yeah.
And he just really doesn't do her any favors among many people.
Right,
But
many.
like he like his reaction's supposed to be like I feel like you're supposed to play along with it, but it's just like you just want to say yuck.
Yeah, he's a buffoon who lets himself be treated like a buffoon. And he has no credibility. Cole really doesn't take that. Cole tries to play the straight man, in the middle, and or he does, get his little shots on Saxton, but Corey Graves absolutely, dominates that booth most of the time, and characters like Bailey suffer. I mean, the thing, that they've done. Number of things wrong, have her, title too early, winning via interference, accepting winning via interference. It's just not good. And
Yeah.
this match is up. This triple threat match is, it's basically the same match last year with Bayley in the place of Becky Lynch. So after everything, where are the women really gone?
Well, and it's still, and that I guess that's the other odd thing too, that last week it looks like Nia Jax is out of the picture, but then she whoops Bayley so hard it's just like, okay, by Stephanie McMahon's logic, isn't she going to get a spot now in the match? So it's just like there's
there's no
still a
chance of that,
chance
though.
that it changes, but it doesn't really change anyone's situation either. 'Cause it did seem like to me that Sasha may have been hinting at stabbing Bailey in the back.
What the hell was that about? She's beautiful. She's beautiful. What the fuck was she? What the hell was that? I mean, I did I mishear her with the sound in the building?
Yeah, I don't know. Like you said, like just none of them. Like Charlotte comes off well because everyone hates her. Like I think that she gets a good, genuine heel reaction.
Charlotte does, but where I think there might be a disconnect with people is the way Bailey is presented versus the way Charlotte is presented. Who would parents rather their daughter grow up to be? And I'm just like, Bailey is a TV watching daydreamer who, was, scribbling in a notebook, not paying attention in class, and Charlotte lettered in four sports and maintained academic eligibility. Like, what would you rather your daughter be, I guess?
Yeah, and at some point too, like she's made it. It's time. Like I guess I hadn't thought about it, but I mean it's kind of time to get rid of that persona. Like there's nothing to say that she can't still be, crowd friendly and happy and all that other good shit, but it's gotta, the gimmick's gotta modify some to suit the fact that, I mean, she's in the WWE, like she's had this job for a while now. She's gonna stick, she's sticking around. Like, I mean, she's at some point, obviously, a former world champion. So, I mean, And she's too good of a wrestler to, you know, just be cast by the wayside. But I think even though the WWE hasn't done a good job helping her out, like, I do think that the gimmick kind of had a little bit of a shelf life now that, you know, we're to this point.
Right. I mean, maybe it's something that worked in NXT. It had its time, like the gimmicks, like the things that worked in ECW but never worked in WWE or WCW. Public Enemy cough.
Okay, we're going to invent a hardcore division just so these guys can work. That's how we'll do it. Yeah, so I mean, that was the ladies. Is there anything else really from Raw that's because I think the other stuff was just kind of, you know, because Jericho didn't get anything too substantial. Like, it was enough to, you know, move the story along.
Yeah, it was definitely enough to keep this move the story along. I mean, that might have been the biggest disappointment of the night, that match, that particular tag match with Jericho and Zayn versus Owens and Joe not going very long, as it was the really, had the potential to be the best in-ring match of the night. It really wasn't anything, but, you know, once again, it was a strong post-match. You know, you realize it's a Raw, it's a Raw in the weeks before WrestleMania. It's going to be more story-heavy, so, you know. And what they did was good.
Yeah, and we got one other official match for WrestleMania, I guess, which could be mentioned, which is Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows taking on both Cesaro and Sheamus and Enzo and Cass.
Yeah, that was expected. I think there's very little chance it's not on the pre-show, so, yeah, not much to say there. Although Enzo and Cass, once again, over in front of a live crowd.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind. That was one of those things that when I was watching the show, I'm like, despite the fact that I think the nerds thing is just stupid, like, it's not like good stupid or I hate you stupid, it's just stupid.
Right.
Gallows and Anderson do need more mic time, I think. Like, I felt like this week, I'm like, man, I just don't feel like they get all that much to kind of get themselves over. And I mean, I guess maybe that's a tag team thing altogether.
Right, yeah. Yeah, not much to say about it now. I mean, Gallows and Anderson absolutely do need some more mic time. But once again, right now, the tag teams aren't that much of a priority on either brand right now.
Well, and I guess that's what I was going to move, because the tag team champions, American Alpha.
I guess they technically main evented SmackDown tonight.
Yeah, well,
wow.
That was hilarious because, A, I wasn't watching live because I thought to myself, I'm like, I started on the DVR. And I caught up well ahead of time, but I didn't switch to the USA Network. But honestly, by the time I did flip to it, it was already on Chris Lee Knows Best anyway. A minute after, so Shane McMahon drags his carcass out there, and I mean, they just cut it basically right there, didn't they?
Oh yeah, SmackDown don't get no overruns.
I was just like,
we need to meet that Chris Lee money. It's a very special episode tonight. But no, yeah, SmackDown, you know, built all around one big angle. Like, I noted, you know, I do it myself, and Pittsburgh does get a hard time as a tough crowd traditionally. Even wrestlers will comment on it. It's sometimes getting a reaction out of a Pittsburgh crowd if you feel like pulling teeth. But man, tonight, they got nothing. In 2 hours, no big names wrestled. No big names were involved in any kind of physical angles in front of the crowd. Cena, Orton, Ambrose wasn't there. Wyatt didn't do a segment in the building. Even if you count Miz, you know, AJ Styles, none of them threw a punch in front of the live crowd. Just think about going to a live show and not seeing any of the big stars do anything physical. How would you feel? Do you feel ripped off?
Yeah, I definitely...
I'm sure they got a dark match of some sort. Maybe you haven't seen it wrestling, but that's after 3 hours.
Yeah, I would not have felt good about tonight's card. We will have to say that this kind of show would remedy what we've mentioned before, which is that the crowd is dead for 205 Live.
I can't even imagine what it was like tonight.
They have action for the first time tonight at 205 Live. They had to wait 2 hours to get
it. And then, they do say that the best, you know, as far as crowds staying through 205 Live, and the best reactions are when the live crowd is told John Cena's coming out for a dark match. So hopefully that happened for them tonight. SmackDown obviously built around one angle, which, you know, largely well done. You know, Shane took a pretty good beating from AJ Styles. Whatever they did with the top of Shane McMahon's head, it looked good. I don't think it was a large gash from a car window. I think they would have been way more concerned about it if it was, but whatever they did with him, it looked good.
Yeah, because that was the first thing I'm like, oh, yeah, that window isn't breaking if that's regular glass.
Right, yeah, so, yeah, they definitely, but, you know, again, it was well done enough. I mean, obviously, yeah. Though, you know, it was kind of silly that all the things that wrestlers have been doing these last couple of weeks, and all the felonies that have been committed on SmackDown in the last 3 weeks, and this is what causes Daniel Bryan to fire someone over.
I mean, AJ Styles did have the good fortune of mentioning the arson earlier in the show.
Yeah. And then Baron Corbin trying to kill Dean Ambrose last week after he got hostage.
Yeah, I had kind of forgotten about him pinning down Dean Ambrose with the forklift.
After he condemned a security guard. But yeah, no, I mean, you know, we kind of, it's been rumored and speculated about for a while now, it's gonna happen, at least in the beatdown angle. Shane took some good bumps, he's always been a good bumper and a good seller in that regard, so.
Right.
I'm not dreading the match, and really, what they had, could potentially have had for AJ Styles, it's the biggest match they could do for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a way to get to the angle. I guess I'm not the biggest fan of them getting to the angle this way. You know, to fire AJ Styles only to rehire him.
Yeah, but you know, it's 3 weeks. We gotta get that match announced. I mean, I don't mind it too much. And AJ Styles, at least, hit for his part as a heel, even though I don't know how much he'll get booed at WrestleMania, you know, has been very irrational about this whole thing. It's not like Shane has been, you know, in any way purposely out to get him. In fact, if anything, more Daniel Bryan has been more, you know, anti-AJ Styles, which, again, it just makes the whole thing, you know, makes AJ Styles that much more of a dick for doing what he's doing.
Right.
Yeah. So, but no, I liked it enough. Yeah, you know, and speaking of people who come off like dicks, man, am I rooting for the Miz and Maryse at WrestleMania. I mean, Maryse tells a story that I have to believe is completely true, and Nikki Bella really did not have a good retort for it.
Well, I guess I wasn't terribly convinced by Maryse. I don't know if it's the accent that throws me off.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not going to say that Maryse, you know, should be nominated for an Emmy for her performance. But she's told the story before.
She has told the story before.
Yeah, she's told the story. I told Divas. Yeah, so yeah, it sounds like a pretty real story.
I don't watch that show. That's why I did think to myself while I was watching that segment, I'm like, I'm kind of missing a large part of this. By not watching that show, but that's okay. I'm good with that. I guess I didn't realize that was somewhat true. But of course, I mean, if she was just going to come back as arm candy for The Miz, I don't know. I mean, she really seems like she could have done that at any time, I would have thought.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't. Yeah. But as part of a package deal, I guess, as she was promised that. And then Nikki and Brie, you know, went behind her back to get themselves a sweeter deal. You know, I guess it's a little crappy to do, but, you know, it's business. And I guess I'm kind of no. John, Nikki, bad. Team Miz and Maryse.
I don't really care. I just love everyone being dicks. Like everyone.
It's
the airing the dirty laundry stuff. Like I guess I'm just enjoying this angle altogether. Like in some ways, Nikki's just like, we were never best friends. I mean, it isn't the best explanation, but
right.
I guess I don't know enough about their actual lives to go, oh, I know that one story is true and the other story isn't.
Right. Right. Yeah. It definitely feels like, you know, Miz and Maryse definitely have more material, more ammunition. Last week, Miz was just on fire between SmackDown and Talking Smack. So, he let Maryse take the lead this week, which, you know, you need to, you know, establish the heat between the women going into the match too. So that was. I think that was the only other thing of note, really, on SmackDown at all.
And again, this was all verbal, and really, it was heel heavy at that, because, like you said, like that. Yeah, John and Nikki really haven't had much substance behind their retorts, really.
No. I mean. But it's again, this match was something of a hard sell. So I mean, Miz is absolutely, it has to get personal, and Miz has to be on fire during the promos to really sell this.
Yeah, and it's happening.
The match is official. Not sure exactly. You know, I think Maryse may want to have a lawyer. You know, look at her contract and see if. If she's just a valet, if she can be forced into a match, might be a little shady dealings there between, once again, but that's part of what Miz and Maryse can complain about next week, you know, John and Nikki using their brother-in-law to do their dirty work.
Again, there's 3 weeks, so they have some angle to work, and I'm completely okay with that.
Yeah, this has just been fun, you know, it's a fun build-up, and it'll probably be a fun match. Yeah. Not everything has to be 5 stars at the 6 stars at the Tokyo Dome.
and definitely everything isn't six stars at the Tokyo Dome, even in the Tokyo Dome, so.
Right.
since SmackDown was kind of light on the pickings, there were a couple of other stories that hit. One this weekend, which amused me quite a bit, and one which amused you quite a bit. I did not. We'll start with yours because I had not. I'll admit I have not watched ROH with the sound, at least for an entire episode, and I don't know how long. So the fact that you asked me to answer some questions, I'm like, maybe I should actually listen this week. So yeah, I will admit, what? Like, a lot of, because I do watch it a lot while we're recording this show, so I don't hear the sound that much.
Right.
And I don't put on closed caption to read what they're saying.
Yeah, that was, yeah, I, you know, on the heels of the at least temporary Hardy signing, I decided to give ROH's chance. Man, has the show changed since the last time I watched? I mean, I know that they had some, definitely had some announcing changes. I have no clue. I have no clue who this guy is. this Ian fella. This guy, wow. He looks like, oh my god, this show looks and feels like so public access now. Even more than, you thought it felt like that before. Now, with the positioning of the announcing table, this guy who looks like he's straight out of, you know, an intern at a local broadcasting school is now your lead announcer with a revolving door of wrestlers acting as color commentators. Oh, this is a horrible presentation right now. I don't know what you think about it.
Well, you know, that was kind of the funny thing, because I do usually catch some of it with the commentary on. I guess I'd say maybe about half of it or so. And it was just funny because they went from Nigel being on there, and then, well, it was Kevin Kelly and Nigel, and then it became just Kevin Kelly. And then this guy has been in there, I only think, for 2 or 3 weeks. And, man, I guess I hadn't realized how bad he, like, listening to that whole episode, I'm just like, oh, man. Man.
And he wasn't even the worst talker on the damn show. I know the top prospect, turn is supposed to be, but I've been looking for an ROH TV report to look up the guy's name, but I'm sorry to everyone out there if this is unprofessional, but I could not find it. How the hell did they let that manager on there? In his Jim Cornette cosplay suit, and not just let him on TV, but let him cut a promo. What the hell were they thinking?
I'll tell you what, like, the pickings have seemed really slim this year. And I don't know if that's an effect of the WWE having so many people under contract at this point.
I mean, it's the top prospects tournament. The guy the Cornette wannabe was managing looked like he was like 47 years old.
Well, and that has kind of been one of the problems that I've had too. The last Donovan Dijak was the last guy to win the tournament, who was somewhat young. So, there've just been, because Hansen won, but the guy had been wrestling for like 18 years or something crazy like that. And yeah, I don't remember the guys' names either. But the manager and the wrestler there, they both looked old. And the guy wasn't in that good a shape, and they've just had a lot of older veterans, I guess, to me, that have gone through the top prospects tournament the last couple of years, that it's just like they've had some young guys, because I don't think that, oh, did Leo Rush win it last year, I think?
I think that's what they said. I mean,
You know what? It's been an every other year thing then. Because it was Dijak, old guy, or it was old guy, Dijak, old guy, Rush. So it's like every other year they get an actual like new find.
I have not seen. I'll be honest. I have not seen much Leo Rush. I have to see how much he's improved or not. The one thing on the show that I actually like, I do see a lot of potential in Punishment Martinez. I mean,
oh.
The first time I'd ever heard his name was when ROH did their two shows in Japan. They decided to have him challenge for one of the Japanese championships, and it's like, what, huh? Why is this guy doing what, huh? But I do see how they see potential in the guy. There's definitely something.
Him and Dijak are two really kind of big guys. They're more to me more like an Orton build where they're tall and slim and they're not overly bulky.
Right.
But in
ROH they're giants.
Oh yeah, and that helps too, that they would look probably more like Baron Corbin sized big
right.
man in the WWE as opposed to you know, the actual big guys.
Yeah. But I mean, from the looks of things at ROH, I'm gonna continue to watching to see, you know, see how they play off, you know, the Hardys stuff on TV. But again, still the same issues with the TV feeling out of date, you know, major things have happened and the TV still hasn't caught up. The Young Bucks are still coming out with the tag team titles that they've already lost. No reference to the Hardys angle, even to have throwing to someone in the event center saying, we got a special update from New York City where the Hardys have teleported. Of course, now they have to, of course, now they have to figure out what they're going to do with all this Hardys footage they've taped.
How
they're going to refer to them.
They'll probably end up airing it on TV at some point. If there's honestly, that would be the biggest way to get people to come to their product and not saving it for a pay-per-view. Like, they're just, the Hardys are one of the hottest things going in wrestling, period, end of sentence. If not the hottest. I mean, Rebby Sky went off on TNA management this past weekend.
Yes, and ended with the words "fuck that owl." Turned that into a T-shirt that sold 500. That sold 500 T-shirts in 24 hours, making grossing them $10,000 in a day.
And then promising another 1,000 to be made for sales.
That's amazing. Yeah. So again, the power of the heart. It's going to be interesting to see where, you know, TNA filing suit against the Hardys, claiming, you know, to the own all intellectual property related to Broken Matt and the Broken Universe. I mean, be interesting to see where this all heads up. I mean, you know, what exactly can TNA declare copyright ownership of? They're even trying to say that they own Senor Benjamin, which, if the guy's real name is Benjamin, can they really stop him from calling himself Mr. Benjamin?
Well, that still kills me that Cody has to show up on both ROH and TNA, and he can't use his last name.
Just call yourself Cody Runnels. If you insist on wrestling for promotions that have, you know, TV in the States, just call yourself Cody Runnels. It's okay. Most people know that the family's real last name is Runnels. Just use it. But the thing is, you know, WWE has all their I's dotted and T's crossed when it comes to their contracts. I have no faith that I have no belief that TNA is run half that competently. So, you know, this is definitely a legal fight. That could go either way. I mean, I've heard, you know, people claim to be legal expert, you know, message board, legal expert, where it's, you know, going both ways on, you know, who has ownership of this thing or not. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be decided in the court.
I mean, it just did crack me up that at least for the time being, and I wouldn't be completely surprised that the Hardys fronted a lot of money to record the stuff that was at the compound.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. That's a big part of, their argument, I'm sure. And, I mean, it's kind of a... It's just... What can TNA do with this? What can they do with with owning this now? It seems like a...
Yeah. The options are really limited. I mean, because you can use the premise of the broken universe basically and continue it with Decay, if you so please.
Yeah, they did do that, and yeah, that was another thing that Rebby Hardy decided to go off about. Yeah, how they used that footage to show that they teleported and then disappeared into the ether, and Decay just picks up the tag team titles or whatever title belts they were using. I think maybe the GFW tag team title belts that they're using, the Global Force tag team title belts that they're using, because the TNA tag titles, as far as I know, are still in the possession of Matt and Jeff Hardy. It's a big mess. I guess if TNA really does have a case and the court decides in their favor, I guess good for them. But I'm certainly rooting for the Hardys here.
You and everyone else in the wrestling community.
Yeah. Because you just know that no one, with the exception of Jeremy Borash, had anything to do with any of that, intellectually. They really, other than it was shot possibly using their cameras. We don't even know 100% that for a fact.
Yeah. You just from the way TNA has been portrayed in many recent events prior to, because this was before Anthem Bottom when they did this filming, wasn't it?
Yeah, they may have done a final, total nonstop deletion, after that. But no, most of it was from before Anthem.
So yeah, I would guess things would be a little more shaky pre-Anthem.
Right.
Things are still probably going to be a little bit shaky anyway, just because that ride is far from smooth itself.
No, I can't even believe that you watched that show.
I watched this one, but since they officially wrote off the Hardys, I'm back to tapping out. Thank God.
Yeah, I mean, it's from everything I've gathered, it was awful. It was, maybe JB and Jeremy Borash and Josh Matthews got a few good lines off on each other, but bickering announcers for 2 damn hours, that does not sound like an enjoyable experience to me at all.
Yeah, Josh Matthews seems to have embraced being a dick, which has also helped him, coincidentally. He's gone all SmackDown on everybody. And
yeah.
It seems to have finally helped his announcing skills.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't expect him to be, announcing for too much longer, the way this thing seems to be going. And hope, Borash will replace him permanently. And maybe they'll keep Josh around as a heel manager or something of that nature if they think there's future in him as a heel. But yeah, it just doesn't sound, all the cheap Jarrett guys coming in, no Hardys. Yeah.
Well, and even the people that they brought in, like, it reminds me too much of a Dixie Carter move. I remember because it's happened to Bobby Lashley both times, which makes me laugh. Like, Bobby Lashley, before the dying of the last regime, was the champion. And it seemed like he was going to move strong into the new... Because what did Dixie do? Did she get all of the company on her own at some point? I'm trying to remember what happened, but he ends up losing to Bobby Roode then. And dropping the belt after... Was it when they... Oh, I think it's when they moved networks.
Yeah, I think I remember something like that, yeah.
But it was Lashley losing to Roode. It might have been the other way around. But then, yeah, Lashley again loses to the debuting Alberto El Patron. And
yeah, well, they've already done a deal where he's where it was a controversial finish and Patron gave up the belt. So yeah, it's a TNA mess.
I hadn't read that. So yeah, that makes me even happier that I'm not going to watch this trash.
Yes, that was a site. Yes, it aired on YouTube.
Oh. I mean, I guess if they're trying to get hits anyway, like the WWE is, I suppose right. I understand, but I guess I don't think they're in a position to do that.
No, they do not have the following for that right now. No, it's just... The show is worse than it was. You know, people were not clamoring for... You know what? No, people were not clamoring for Jeff Jarrett and company to come back into this company. People wanted something new.
Yeah.
And the show is now worse than it was 2 months ago.
Well, just because it lost the Hardys, it's going to get worse.
Oh yeah, that's ridiculous. I have no clue how you run a business and could let that happen.
But yeah, bringing back in people
and they didn't want to leave.
That have already failed for TNA,
and we're you know,
and you can
unironically using Make Impact Great Again with zero irony was you know truly believing that. 5-10 years ago, Impact was actually great. It's just, what are people doing?
Well, they did shorten it to Make Impact Great, which is better. Because, yeah, it was never great to start with. There have been periods where it's been better. But since I've been able to watch that thing... It has not been consistently good in the least bit. Yeah, and I'm trying to think of why that why we got back around to how trashy TNA is. But Patron's
because they're trying to sue the guys who were carrying their company for the last year and prevent them from making a living?
Well, that and just, you know, because what? Oh, Vince Russo's name got thrown out there. Pritchard isn't going to be, like, I don't know. I only heard half of his promo this past week because that was the other thing. I only watched the last hour. So I didn't even watch the whole thing.
I mean, I enjoy the hell out of his podcast with Conrad Thompson. But this is where we're at now. We're getting our rub from a guy with big podcast downloads. He was, you know, Bruce Pritchard was Brother Love. He was never a big star on anyone's television as Bruce Pritchard.
Oh. Yeah.
And people are, this is supposed to get people to turn the show, you know, between him and Dutch Mantel and, I guess, something segments with Karen Jarrett. Who's running this company now? can anyone just declare themselves as having decision-making power here?
Yeah. So, I mean, even if they manage to right the ship. Like, there's still only, like, a maximum level they're going to get to. And it's not what they're... I can't imagine that's what they're looking for.
No, I mean, this is... They're going to... Anthem is probably going to lose a ton of money over the years before they dump it. Yeah, it's just, you know, they said that, you know, the Fight Network has already laid off, you know, half their staff. They're not going to do any more, too much more first run programming. They're, you know, fighting news, you know, news desk shows are getting canceled, and they're basically just going to turn the majority of their network into the Best of TNA. Because they own that library, might as well use it, I guess.
Oh, I hadn't heard that part. But it would figure that TNA would team up with another set of losers.
Right. Yeah.
So,
I think
that's the other thing, and it kind of goes back to a while ago that. I think that's why, at least if Billy Corgan would have gotten a hold of it, it would have been something different. Like, really,
yeah,
something different. But, yeah. Obviously, that ship has sailed.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, and, you know, we've seen it's a lot of, you know, it just doesn't sound like a good show. I mean, I didn't watch it. I've read spoilers. I've heard what other people talk about it. Not something I need to be watching.
Yeah.
There's too much good wrestling elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly it. There is too much good wrestling elsewhere. And that's the way we can end our show. I will talk about Land Grant Greenskeeper, which is a session IPA. It was quite tasty and enjoyed on my end during...
Nice.
Oh, yeah. So maybe I'll have to take a picture of that. And yeah, it's a good IPA. I think it's the last one of the six-pack that I had. So I'm at Defrango11. That's at Chris Calamita. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Please, if you have the time, rate and review us on iTunes and SoundCloud. And with that, have a good night.
Bye.